Hello and welcome. This is Ranks for Nothing. We're the podcast where we discuss, rank, and draft our favorite movies, actors, directors, music, and comic books and video games. And my name is Matt.
Mike.
And I'm Sean.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's all three of us. That's the three of us.
There's only three.
And yeah. So Matt, a couple weeks ago, you brought up the show Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And you were speaking highly of it. I watched the first couple episodes about a week or so ago, and I liked. They're weird. I don't know how I feel about them.
Which ones did you watch?
I watched the Bryce Dallas Howard. I started at the third season.
Oh, okay.
I watched the Bryce Dallas Howard one, and then I watched the second episode, the one with the. Like the virtual, like the augmented virtual reality type of one.
Oh, the like the horror survival game.
Yes,
yeah,
that one.
Those ones are good.
Yeah, they were good. They were just like, I don't know, there was something about them that it felt either too long of like an episode or mm-hmm. too short of a movie.
Yeah, like it's like in a weird spot.
Exactly. That was my only gripe about it. I like the stories and I like the idea of it. And like Bryce Dallas Howard was really good in that episode. And even the other guy, I don't know what his name is, but he was really good in that episode too. But
I'm not sure his name, but that's Kurt Russell's kid.
Oh shit! Really? Yeah. That's crazy. That's nuts.
I think his name's Wyatt.
Wyatt Russell?
Is
he using Russell? Is he using Russell?
I don't know.
So I think he's got another kid that they don't use.
Oh, like, not sure.
They don't use the last name. Anyways, but yeah, it was interesting. I liked. I might have watched a third. I did watch a third one. I watched the one with the kid and the webcam.
Oh, where everyone gets blackmailed into doing shit.
Yeah, I really liked that story a lot.
That one's fucked up.
That one was fucked up.
Yeah.
That one was probably the craziest story.
Yeah. Everyone was damned if they do, damned if they don't in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. There was no winners in that situation.
Because mm-hmm. like some episodes do have kind of like a happy ending or like a like a everything's okay ending, but some are just fucked. It's like especially the like the first episode of the first season with the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to like give it away, but that one's... I started off with that one, and that one's pretty fucked.
Okay. Yeah, I think the funny thing is, I might have watched some of that, and I'm not a huge fan of, like, British stuff.
Yeah, me neither.
In general.
Me neither. I hate all foreign comedy.
Why I, like, stayed away from it for so long. shit.
I don't get them.
Yeah, not for me. Not for me.
No, I'm the same
Benny
way.
Hill,
yeah.
Not for me.
I say Shaun of the Dead is probably the only thing I liked from the fucking United Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy, he's one of, what's his name? The director
Simon
guy.
Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright, not Green. Where the hell did Green come from? Edgar Wright. He's probably one of the few people that do stuff from that area that I'm like, yeah, I can get behind most of what they do.
Yeah, same here. But those are good episodes.
But yeah, the Black Mirror was weird. Like, I don't know if I fully... Like I like the idea of the show and I like it a lot, but it's hard for me to go back to it.
Huh.
Like it's one of those things like
that's right.
I think I'd rather spend my time watching something else.
Huh.
But it's not in a bad way. It's just like I don't know what it is. It's just like weird.
It's like the roles are reversed.
Is every episode like a different thing? Is like one of those shows where it's like every episode's different, like completely different theme and everything. Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's their own stories.
Yeah, what they're called like anthology stories.
Yeah. Like they're all.
It's like an Are You Afraid of the Dark series.
Yeah, it's just like Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Every little episode is its own
gotcha.
Story. But they are kind of connected. Like they could be like in the same universe, but
mm-hmm.
weird.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're they all have like similar themes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's usually technology or like,
okay.
like a darker like take on that like Big Brother type of thing.
Hacking and stuff. And...
Yeah. But outside of that, it's all kind of it's definitely different stories. But that Bryce Dallas Howard one, like, it's I liked a lot of parts of it, and it's hard for like I think it's still being figured out, like how people are trying to do the whole like social media on film or like in a movie,
uh-huh.
like and it's still in that weird thing, where like they did a pretty good job of it, where it didn't feel like forced or like weird or anything.
Uh-huh.
But it's still like in a weird area where it's not like 100% like figured
accurate.
Out. Yeah, it's not figured out yet. You know what I mean? Like how to portray that.
It's getting there.
It's like, I watched, yeah, it's definitely getting there. I watched, the movie with, James Franco's younger brother, and, Julia Robert, or, and, was it Eric Roberts' kid?
Was it Nerve?
Nerve. Have you seen that?
I haven't
seen
it. I know about it though.
Okay. It was a weird movie. It was like the beginning of that was very like social media heavy. And, it was the same thing. Like the first like 5-10 minutes of that movie, I was like, I don't think I'm going to like this just because of like the way they were like, it was just like social media throwing up on the screen. And it was just like, what the hell is going on? And then it kind of kicked into a different gear. And then the rest of the movie was really interesting. Huh. Not great, but definitely entertaining. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like not like the greatest story or the greatest movie or greatest acting or anything,
no.
But it was an enjoyable, entertaining movie. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Isn't that one kind of like the one episode of Black Mirror where it's all, everyone's getting directed by their cell phone, like, you got to go do this. And if you don't do this, then this is going to happen.
I don't know if I've seen that episode, but it is kind of like that. Yeah. It's basically like, it's a similar thing, but there's other people that are like, it's basically like if you're on YouTube and you have followers and then the followers tell you to do something, but it's like dares.
Oh, okay.
It's like dare based.
It's like accept this challenge. Like a,
yeah. Yeah. And it's all like on the dark web, so it's like all like hidden and anonymous and all this stuff. I like the theme of it because it's very much plays into like the anonymous internet and like the good and bad of that. You know what I mean? There's kind of like, I guess you can call it like a love story, but it's not like beating you over the head love story type of thing.
Yeah.
But there's that involved and there's a, I don't even know if I want to call it twist, but there's a cool like plot line that like goes through the movie that's not really expected, but it kind of works its way into it and it's enjoyable. But yeah, if you have like a free rental or whatever, I suggest watching it. It's definitely worth watching. It was an interesting movie.
Hmm. I'll think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that one. Think about that, buddy.
Oh. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't like Black Mirror that much.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, and it's not that I didn't like it. I just think like, I don't know if it's like, there's a lot of hype about it. So like I usually when there's a lot of hype about something, I kind of like look at it with a more critical eye. Like I kind of watch things with a little more critical eye rather than just going into it with like no expectations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. More.
So I think that was my problem with it was just like, I had like this idea of what it was going to be in my head. And I don't think it really matched up with that.
It's kind of like with me with Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it,
exactly.
But I'd say Black Mirror.
Did you give it another try yet?
No. Like I keep thinking about it, but I'm like, this, I don't care, man. This show is not that great. But it's like with Black Mirror kind of flew under the radar compared to Stranger Things.
It definitely did. It definitely did.
Because I didn't have heard about it too. Someone else told me about Black Mirror.
Yeah, Black Mirror didn't really catch on until this new third season debuted.
Yeah.
Because I think it was like a British only thing for a while. And then Netflix bought the rights.
Yep.
And then Netflix like produced the third series,
yeah, exactly.
Third season. So that's kind of why, like, cause I think I had watched one of the older episodes and I wasn't like too crazy about it. Mm-hmm. Like it was all right.
Yeah.
And then, everyone kept mentioning the new season and I was like, I'll check it out again.
Yeah.
And here we are today. Mm-hmm. I still like, will probably go back and like watch an episode every now and again, but it's not something that I'm just going to like plow through. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's how we kind of were. It's like, are we in the mood for some dark shit? It's like, all right, yeah, let's do Black Mirror. Let's finish that up. But usually it's like after you watch one, it's like, oh, man, that was crazy. Let's see what the next one's about since they're all different.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. That's kind of the issue. Not issue, but I guess one of the problems you kind of run into with series like that where, you know, it's going to be a lot of hit and miss.
Yeah. That kind of sucks, though, too, because if you only watch one and it was one of the lesser liked episodes, you're like, well, fuck, I'm not going to go back.
Yeah, totally. Like, well, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
On to the next thing. What have you been watching, Matt?
We finished up the OA, the Netflix show.
Yeah. How is that? I've heard nothing but good things about that.
It's good.
I still don't know what the hell it's about, but I heard that it's good.
Yeah, I heard the end is kind of a fucking weird twist or like it kind of leaves it in a weird spot.
Yeah, the ending, the last episode does a scene that kind of takes you out of it. It's like they did that. And it's kind of like the thing they've been working up for towards like the whole season. And it's once they do it, you don't get the reaction you expect
that you're hoping.
Yeah. So like it's not the greatest ending, but it still leaves you with questions and wanting to find out more about the series, which is pretty cool.
Gotcha. Is it one of those endings where it's like they left it where if they never got renewed, it would be okay, but they could also like pick up on next season and it would be cool too?
Kinda like.
Or was it like planned that we're going to have a second season type of ending?
I'm not sure if they planned it out, the whole story, to have multiple seasons, but like the way they leave it, it's still kind of cool because it just leaves you a bunch of questions to ask yourself, like, was everything she told in that story real, or was it all in her head?
Gotcha.
But the whole show is about a girl goes missing for 7 years who was blind, and when she comes back to her family, she can see. So that's like the big tagline when you watch it. But then when you start watching, it's like not really about her being blind, because they kind of toss that off, like the reason how she gets it back and how she loses it and stuff. But the whole show is a trip. Like it deals with a lot of near-death experiences and a scientist trying to figure out if there is an afterlife and if there's any kind of connection with the two. Like when you have a near-death experience, you know, how everyone claims they see like a white light or kind of thing. Like if that's just some nerves firing off while you see a white light, or if it's actually something beyond us.
Gotcha.
And it's pretty cool how the scientist is trying to figure it all out. And
that's cool. So it's like based in like the science, because I've read stuff about that, like the science behind like death and, or, you know, the theories behind the science of death, I guess is probably the better way to say that.
Yeah. But
and that sounds kind of like what you're describing.
But there's a lot more to it. I don't want to spoil anything, but
yeah.
It's pretty cool where it does go, because that's just one part of it.
Okay.
So I'd definitely check it out.
All right.
But it will take you like 3 or 4 episodes to really get into it, because there is a lot of buildup to the story in the beginning.
Because gotcha.
You don't know if she's fucking lying or if she's really telling the truth about these things.
It felt like it was going to be one of those like a slow burn.
Yeah.
Like looking and reading a synopsis, it felt like it was one of those like you might have to like drudge through some stuff to get to the meat of it. But,
exactly.
But it'll get there. Like almost like The Wire or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. The Wire. Yeah. I love The Wire.
Wire is so goddamn good. It took me a long time to watch The Wire.
Yeah, that one.
And
I had to watch the first episode. I've
never really seen it.
Oh, man. It's so good. It's such a crazy show.
If you have HBO Go, you can watch all of it on there.
Yeah.
We actually do, yeah.
Yeah. Or Amazon Prime, because Amazon Prime has the HBO,
episodes. That's right.
Yeah. But that I highly recommend it. And you definitely have to watch. It's a very slow burn for like 5 or 6 episodes. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of characters. And then it starts kicking.
Yeah, there's just a lot of shit happening. It's like all weaving. And then eventually it comes into something where it's like, okay, this is starting to be cool. It's interesting. And then
it
gets a little, and then it gets a little weak for a little while. Not because it's like bad or anything, just because like the storyline kind of like goes into like a lull for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And not because it's like bad episodes or anything. It's just like, that's just the peaks and valleys of a story.
Yeah.
And then it ratchets up again, and it's good. It's so good.
Yeah. That's how it was with Game of Thrones, because I heard like it's like the same thing, like that one's a really slow burn, but I just never got into it.
Me either.
I think fantasy is just like my favorite genre of stories.
Yeah, shit's weird.
Yeah, I've always felt that way.
Yeah.
Like to me, it needs some sort of like basis in reality.
Uh-huh. That's what I like.
For fantasy to work.
Yeah,
like that's like if it teeters on the line of like sci-fi, or if they explain it in a way that's believable to me, then I can get behind it.
Okay. So then you might,
but like just like straight up magic and like shit like that, just for the sake of having magic, it's like it takes a really good story to convince me to watch that type of story.
Yeah. Say, I think Lord of the Rings was the only thing that got me hooked.
Yeah. See, I don't even like Lord of the Rings. So.
Oh, really?
There's that.
So fuck it. But no, I think you might like the OA then, because it does play on that borderline of if it's real or not. I'm sure I think you might
like. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it's another one of those things that I've had in my watch list and just never gotten around to yet.
Yeah.
But so what else is new? I watched I went back and watched the Batman vs. Superman, the ultimate director's cut. I forget what the full title of it's for, but
I think it's just ultimate cut.
Whatever, the really long movie.
Yeah. The extra half hour.
And it's, I went into this enjoying the original. Like I went into theater and saw it like a week or two after it was released, and I enjoyed the movie. I liked Ben Affleck as Batman. I liked Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne too. I think he does a good job, especially in this style, like this era of Batman, where he's a little older, he's a little grizzled, he's not like, it's not an origin story, he's not first getting into it, he's a little jaded on the whole thing, he's just kind of like fucking dealing with it. And I like the fact that it was kind of like a, like the like old school comics, like it had that detective element to it, which was neat.
Yeah, that's what I wish more Batman movies had, was more of his detective side.
Yeah, and I think they teetered on that a little bit here, and I hope that the new movie that Ben Affleck's doing has a lot more of that, because it's going to be like Batman centric. That
hope so.
That'll be kind of how it goes. But it's funny because I enjoyed that movie in the theater. I had actually thought that it felt like two movies, and that was my only gripe with it, was that like there was the big crescendo of him fighting Superman, and then it kind of. And then there was like a whole nother tacked on story of, what's his name? Was it Doomsday?
Uh-huh.
And, that was my main gripe about that, was just like, it felt forced. Like it was like mashed together.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I watched the ultimate cut, and it felt like one movie, which is kind of bizarre to me. Like I still can't wrap my head around why I feel that way. Cause it added a half an hour of movie, but it felt much more cohesive.
Yeah, that was,
and it didn't feel like two movies. Like it felt, the extra stuff that they added in there made that ending part feel right to the story.
Yeah,
which is kind of crazy.
The story kind of all came together a little more so with the extra 30 minutes.
Yes,
because those 30 minutes were like sprinkled out throughout the whole movie. It wasn't just an extra action scene or something.
Yeah, and it's definitely sprinkled out in it, and it seemed like it's much more front loaded, so that like there's like the beginning and the middle, where I think the bulk of where they added was kind of in those spots.
Uh-huh.
And then, so like Superman, the fight with Superman then moves to like the end. It's like, you know what I mean? So it pushes that more towards the end. And then it just feels like Doomsday is just like compacting onto that rather than like added to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It seemed like it was like part of that whole ending rather than just like, oh, here's another ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel the same way.
Yeah. Which, have you seen the Fantastic Four? The newest one that they did with Miles Teller.
Uh-huh.
And
it was garbage. Right,
so it is. But that first half, like...
it was actually not bad.
There was parts of that... Yeah, there was parts of that movie that were fucking amazing. All the way up until the big fight with Dr. Doom.
I think that's when the studio butted in and started doing shit.
Like, I feel like he was onto something really cool there. And then... they just said, fuck it, have him fight Doom, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what the fuck? Like, I seriously watched a movie, and I was expecting, like, another half an hour of movie after that fight. And then I was like, no, the movie's over. What the fuck just happened? It was the most anticlimactic ending ever.
Yeah, that one totally feels like two movies spliced into one.
Yes.
Like, there's two directors going at it.
Yeah, and the thing that sucks is that I hear that there's, like, a full cut of that movie that the original director did. And it sucks that we'll never get to see it, because I'm really interested in seeing his vision of that movie.
Yeah, he had something good going.
What the hell? Yeah, definitely. And it took like a much more like scary version. Like it was very like horror-ish.
It was real like gritty kind of scientist movie. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, which I liked. It was neat. Neato. But so if you watched Batman vs. Superman and didn't really enjoy it in the theater, or hated it or whatever, I would say give it another shot. Watch the Ultimate Edition just because it definitely feels different than the theatrical cut.
Yeah, Ultimate Cut makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and it's crazy. It sucks that like that was probably a studio move to cut a lot of that out.
That's what
I heard. That sucks that Zack Snyder gets a lot of shit for that movie, and his vision of this movie was good.
Yeah. It's like the same with The Watchmen, how The Watchmen had an Ultimate Cut, and that movie was really good too.
Yeah, same thing. But with The Watchmen, like that movie dragged. And that's such a hard movie to translate to film.
Still one of my favorites from him, though.
Yeah, I still go back to that Dawn of the Dead remake. That shit was so good.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. And I know people bitch, like, oh, it's a different type of movie. I was like, yeah, but it's so good.
Yeah, but he nailed it.
Yeah.
Everyone's been making all these other ones that kind of sucked, didn't quite do it, but
he definitely changed some stuff, but goddamn did he change it in a good way.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. Other than that, I watched Yoga Hosers, which I think you guys haven't watched it yet, have you?
No, haven't.
Nah.
No. I highly recommend watching that. Not because it's a great movie or because you'll laugh your ass off, just because I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's just a bizarre-ass movie. Yeah, it's just a bizarre movie. It's definitely worth watching. It's one of those movies like, yeah, I'm glad I watched that, even though I might not have enjoyed it, or I didn't really get it, or one of those, whatever.
Yeah,
it falls under that. It's very weird. But yeah, it's basically, it's a horror movie made for like teenage girls, mm-hmm. like a B-horror movie. So it's terrible in all the right ways, but it's good. It's definitely worth watching.
Kevin Smith made it?
Yeah, Kevin Smith made it.
Sounds cool.
It's got like a Clerksy Mallrats vibe.
That's awesome.
But it's definitely, it builds off of, did you see that Tusk movie?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay. No.
It builds off of that where, I think he's starting, it's called like the Great White North trilogy or something. It's basically like a trilogy about Canada.
Oh, really?
So,
oh, damn.
Yeah, yeah. So Tusk takes place in Canada. And then there's a couple characters from that movie that are now in Yoga Hosers.
Oh, okay. So they're connected.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, yeah. So this also takes place in Canada. And
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's fun. Yeah. And I think the third movie might be hockey related, although I don't know if that's true or not. I know he's been like, he's been floating that idea of like a hockey movie for a while, so I don't know if that's going to fit in with this or what he's doing with that.
Well, it's in Canada. It's no big deal.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Be sweet, like a hockey horror movie. That'd be pretty awesome.
Be yeah, funny. Yeah, that would be cool. The origin of Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, essentially,
Red Ice.
Red Ice. Oh, man.
No blue lines.
No blue lines. Only red. There's blood on the ice. Oh, shit. Yeah. Other than that, what else? Swiss Army Man was good. It was weird.
Yeah, that was like just one big fart joke.
It was.
Like, I don't know if like the serious parts were supposed to be funny or if they were actually supposed to be serious. But
it's funny because like I went in hearing about Swiss Army Man that it was all just fart jokes and all that stuff. But really, like, it's maybe like the first third of the movie is a lot of fart jokes.
Yeah.
And then it kind of takes a definitely like a more darker, like serious approach. Like, it's still like farcical and absurd. And like, you know that everyone's not in their right mind type of thing that's going on. But it's definitely still weird. And it's funny in the right places. It's one of those movies that like works really well in its weirdness, you know?
Yeah, it does get kind of dark in that middle part where he's starts to build all the like the little party scenes and
yeah,
like he's just, man, he's like really
what's this
guy.
Who's in this movie?
Paul Dano. And Paul Dano was in did you see There Will Be Blood?
Yeah.
He was the preacher kid. He was in Little Miss Sunshine too.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yep. He's a super good actor. He's awesome. There's very few movies. If he's in a movie, I will most likely watch it.
Yeah.
He's one of those dudes where I'm just like, yep, he's in it. I don't even care what it's about. I'm going to watch it.
He plays a really good creepy guy.
Yeah, he plays a good everything. He's just a fucking solid actor.
Yeah.
And then who's the what's the other guy? Harry Potter. Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him.
He's actually really funny in that one.
Yeah, which is he does a better job than I think people probably give him credit for, just because like he doesn't.
I think he's one trick pony, but yeah.
Yeah, well, no, just the character is
The movie.
This isn't giving anything away. He's dead. He's not alive in this movie. He's basically playing a corpse. He's playing a corpse. And I don't think that's easy to do.
No. It's a lot of being, be still all the time.
Yeah. But even when he's being still, he's still like doing things that really work well for the movie. Uh-huh. And it's kind of bizarre. It's like, it's so subtle. And I think, too many people could really do that, and he does it really well.
Yeah, he does it better Weekend at Bernie's than Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know about that.
It is kind of Weekend at Bernie's-ish, which is kind of funny. It's like Weekend at Bernie's without like the cheesy jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I might have to check it out now.
Yeah, I do love some Weekend at Bernie's.
If you put it like that, maybe I might watch it.
Shit. All right. So this week we were tasked with listening to some albums. Code Orange has a new album called Forever. And then Sean reminded us that Taking Back Sunday put out an album called Tidal Wave, which we thought was much newer, but I guess it came out when, like, September or October or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, later last year.
Yeah, so, but it flew under the radar. I didn't even know that. I knew that they were kind of still a band, but I didn't know they were still putting out stuff, so.
Yeah, I had no idea either.
Yeah.
Yeah, some on tour last year with Dashboard Confessional.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And I didn't even know they played one of the new songs after listening to it today. I was like, oh, yeah, I do remember that song from the concert. I don't remember him saying, like, this is from the new album. I just remember him. He just went right into it.
Yeah, fuck it.
So
they're just trying shit out.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah.
So that album is called Tidal Wave.
Tidal Wave.
It was pretty good. It surprised me.
It's definitely not a Taking Back Sunday album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not what you expect, but it's still better.
Not at all.
It's better than that new Jimmy World one.
Oh, for sure. Hands down.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple times, like, I listened to it again today for like the third time or fourth time.
Uh-huh.
And like, again, when I started and I was like, am I playing the right fucking album again? Like, it's like one of those, like, your second song is like, is this Taking Back Sunday? Yeah. Let me double check.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. It sounds like it's a straight, like, late 90s, early 2000s, like, alternative rock album in my mind.
It's weird because it's definitely, like, it's not a rehash of Tell All Your Friends, which I like.
Cause, mm-hmm.
I
mean, oh, yeah.
They could live off of that if they wanted to for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they're not, like, sticking in there. And
yeah,
but at the same time, it still has that Taking Back Sunday sound. Like, it's not, it's definitely an evolved version of them.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
But it definitely has like a little bit of their old stuff, but there's definitely like a fresh take on like the new approach to songwriting, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it have Fred back in the band or is it the original guy now?
I don't think it's Fred. I think it's the original guy. I know the original dude
joined them and like they were touring with him. And I want to say that Fred like rejoined again, but I could be wrong. I could be making that up. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No.
I don't know.
I don't think it didn't really have a lot of backing vocals.
No, Fred's
kind of like
Fred's not listed
like at all.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha. So it's probably the old original or it might even be not even him either. So.
Who's the original?
Yeah, who the hell knows?
John Nolan?
I think that is.
Yeah, he's on it. So I want to say that was the big deal about this, the last couple albums.
Yeah, is that dude?
That's why that's what that comeback tour was the, like the original lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. It is John Nolan. He's back.
Okay.
The original was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He's back. It's basically the original lineup.
There wasn't a whole lot of backing vocals. Oh, okay.
The bass player is different. That's the only difference.
No.
That doesn't matter.
But I think the bass player was the original from Tell All Your Friends, though. Because the original bass player was Jesse Lacey from Brand New, and he wasn't on Tell All Your Friends. He was gone by that time.
Huh. I didn't even know he was in the band.
Yeah. That was why there's a whole feud between like.
That's probably why they
Brand
hate
New.
Each other. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's why he left the band, because there was that whole feud.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, it looks like it's basically the original lineup.
That's cool.
From Tell All Your Friends, at least.
Now they're 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those old fucks. They're all fat now.
Old,
40 and
those
fat.
Old fuckers. Yeah. But there's the one song, my favorite song on the album was, I think it was that second song that you were talking about. The title
I was
track.
Just going to say that. Yep.
That title track, yep. Tidal Wave.
Really?
It's so weird. But I like it.
So what's gonna happen when the old man goes? Will you embrace chaos or take control? When the guns are drawn outside your door, will you call for peace or will you join the war? What you gonna do when the law breaks in? Will you stand your ground or confess your sins? Oh no, 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 you don't know. I know.
I like it a lot. It sounds, it's like old school punkish, like almost like Ramones-ish.
That's what made me think of like super like alternative kind of like rock
yeah
shit.
And I don't know what it is about it, but I'm just like, this is catchy. I wish more of these songs were like this.
It's horrible. Yeah, I hate
totally. It. Oh, man. That's so funny.
Did you hate the whole album?
No. But that's the one song,
just that's a song
I hate it.
You didn't like?
Because like the album starts, the first song is great, the Death Wolf one.
That first song is really good. That first song is
so
really
then
good.
When that second one pops up, I'm like, what the fuck is it? It sounds like a southern version of Ramon's song or something. It's like, what the hell
yeah.
is this?
Yeah, it's listening to it like more today. I was like, it's kind of folky sounding. It's
it
weird.
Is. It's very weird.
So it's like, is the whole album going to be
like
all
folky
wacky like this?
Alternative?
That my only criticism of that is that shouldn't have been the second song.
Yeah.
That should have been like song five or six
five.
On the album.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
That's how
just give the album a little bit more time to breathe. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's mixing it up too fast.
Yeah, but when I go back and I'm thinking about the album, that's the song that kind of sticks out in my head.
So. Dude, me too. Yeah, I kind of sometimes, like today, I started the album out at the second song.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I did.
Yeah, it's such a weird song. But again, like I like that they're trying those different things. Because, I mean, like I said, they could easily just be putting out the same pop punk album that they put out for 15 years, and they aren't, which is nice. Hmm.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm like... But, when I first
they put out some albums I never even fucking heard of either.
Yeah, they put out... I followed them all the way up until, like, what was it, Louder Now? I think they had one
after
that. They had one after that I was like, this isn't bad. And then I just kind of
lost interest.
They
have, like, a self-titled. They have a self-titled album.
That was the last one I think I actually listened to.
Yeah, they have a bunch of, like, live albums and shit, and then...
Oh, some compilations and stuff.
Like, weird comps, and then that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, but it was all right. I think if you like Taking Back Sunday, you should definitely give it a listen.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't if you're like all right with Taking Back Sunday, I think it's even worth listening to.
Yeah, I'd give it a shot. But it's weird. Like usually with albums, all like the great like single type songs are on the first half.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of felt like all the good, like the ones I liked anyways, were all on the second half of the album.
Yeah, they had a couple of good like banger songs. Like I feel like the older like the end of the album had more like kind of throwback songs. Uh-huh. Like they felt more like old school Taking Back Sunday songs.
That's probably why I liked it.
And like the first half, the first half was definitely like a little bit more weird.
Yeah,
like,
they're
doing some different
stuff.
Shit. Yeah. So it kind of makes me like curious about what their next album is going to be.
Else.
Yeah.
Yeah. What direction they'll go in?
If they do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Because I could totally see them just making a weird ass album, and it might be really cool.
They better not do that Ramon shit.
Yeah. They should just make a band where it's just like that.
Yeah. Just do a whole new thing.
Yeah.
It's
kind of
like
fun.
They should make like a Hot Water Music type of band. I think they or not hot, like a new Chuck Reagan.
I know what you mean.
Oh, like the Trap.
Yeah. Have you listened to his newer album also?
Wait, Chuck Reagan?
Like the flame and the flame and the fire, the flood or some shit.
How long ago did it come out?
Pretty recently, like within the last 6 months to a year at the most.
Then I don't think I have.
I never heard about it until like a couple weeks ago. It's pretty good.
I kind of lost interest in his solo stuff. It just kind of like, it got a little too crazy and too like backcountry folky for me. It was just like, I liked it better when him. I liked it better when it was him and a guitar. You know what I mean? Like,
the dude I went camping with a couple weeks ago, like he's all about it. And I was like, have you heard his like solo album? Like before, like he got like his band, he was like, no. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like you got to listen to that first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like he's all about the news. Like it's pretty good. Like I like that, that Midnight album or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. That one was all right. I know what
you're talking
about.
That was really good. The Gold Country I could really care less for, but the new one's actually pretty good. But like, I like that kind of shit. So it just depends on what. If you're into it or not.
Yeah, that stuff's a little on my, it's hit or miss and more on the miss side for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the solo stuff.
You gotta be in the right like mood or doing the right thing to like listen to it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I could see that. Yeah.
It's kind of like with when City in Color, when he did the first album, it was just him and a guitar, which was great. And then
even the second album.
Yeah, the second one's really good too. But then once he started doing the full band thing, I was like, oh man, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Just the
guitar. I listened to actually the one he put out, the most recent one, I think, was, like, decent. I listened to that one probably more than I have in the last, like, two albums before that.
Uh-huh.
But it's pretty good, like, his most recent one.
I think I've...
But same thing. Like, I never got into it. After Bring Me Your Love, I was, like, not that into it.
Yeah,
like, The Hurry and the Harm was, like, okay. And then the new one that came out, it actually came out, like, 2015, it looks like.
Okay.
It's all right. But it's definitely, like, very electronic, drone-y, like... I don't know. It's weird sounding, but it's all right.
It was weird. I was never huge into City in Color. I always just wanted them. I was like, dude, just fucking go back to Alexis on Fire. Come on, man.
Are they coming back now?
They're playing shows.
I don't know what the hell they're doing. They're playing shows. I don't know if that means they're working on an album or not. Yeah. But
I want to say they are. I hope so. I could be wrong, though.
Oh, yeah. Man. Dude, Matt, did you go to that show they played at fucking Skate City?
Skate City?
That shit was awesome. Like, yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
I think so.
Maybe?
It was them, Taken, and Darkest Hour.
Yeah, God, that was such a banging show.
And I want to say Curl Up and Die played.
I think Curl Up and Die did play. If it wasn't Curl Up and Die, it was some other like bigger local act.
Was that the?
Oh, and fucking Nora played.
Yes, what? Nora did
Damn,
play.
That was fucking awesome. That was the only time I ever saw Nora, and that was fucking cool.
Yeah, and Homeboy was wearing a fucking Glassjaw hat, and I was like, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
him.
Was that fucking Carl Severson from fucking Ferret Records, man?
Yep.
Was that the show where they played like in the middle of the half pipe?
Yep,
kind of. The one guy with the pink hair jumped off the top.
Yeah, jumped off the top.
That was the show.
That fucking,
okay, I remember that.
Pink faux hawk.
That was awesome.
Yeah. That was a good show.
That was hilarious.
Banging show. I bought a shirt there that I wish I still had. It was the Alexis on Fire like baseball tee with like the three quarter sleeve.
Eh.
It was like black.
Did it have that heart logo? Had, thing?
No, this was before the heart logo. It had the cover of it was like a skull with like a girl. It was like that horror looking thing.
Oh,
like that horror
like
throwback
B movie looking
logo. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
That's a good one.
But I wish I still had that shirt. Might not fit as well, but I wish I had it still.
Just making a sleeve of this.
I wish I had
shirt.
A lot of shirts.
I wish
I had a lot of the shirts I bought when we were like, or when I was like 14 and 15, because they probably fit really good now, because when I got them then, they're huge.
Yeah.
I wish I had like 5 shirts.
You would have grown into them.
Yeah. Yeah. I started taking all my old shirts because I never really threw them out. And I cut them all up, and I'm making a quilt, a blanket out of them.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got the whole front sewed up and the backing on it. I just need to finish the edges and like make it a little tighter.
Are you doing it with a machine?
Yeah, I got a sewing machine.
Fuck yeah. That's funny. That's one thing I kind of wish I knew how to do.
Yeah, I remember I learned a little bit in like home ec in like fucking 6th or 7th grade or something. And, and I got this and just started fucking with it.
I was like, yep. Like, I could probably figure it out. Like Jessica, really, she used to have a sewing machine. She used to be all into that shit. She's like,
okay.
Good at it.
Well, that's good because I didn't really. I was just watching YouTube videos and shit.
Yeah, that's how I would probably. Pick it up.
That's funny. I'm doing like a similar thing. Like I'm going through all my old band posters and I'm trying to find like the concert
Dude, I have
posters.
A box full of shit.
Yeah.
So I started framing those. Like I found the old Hot Water Music one, the one show we saw at the marquee.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I found that one, and I found my old Thursday. I remember it was like a pre-order bonus when.
Oh, that lithograph.
The lithograph one. Yeah.
I have that too.
But fuck, there's no like preset frame you can buy for that one.
Yeah, that image sucks because of that. Mm-hmm. I remember doing that, and I built one, and then it broke. So I tossed the frame.
Oh, really?
But I still have the poster.
Yeah, I still got the poster.
Yeah, it broke like in a move one time or another.
Shitty.
Yeah. But, all right. So the other album we want to talk about was Code Orange. Their new album's called Forever. It came out within the last month or so. And so, Matt, what did you think of this album?
So I gave it one try. Not exactly. It's not the.
I told you. What did I say? I was like, Matt, you're probably.
Yeah, you're probably not gonna like it.
Yeah.
There is like, there's only one song that I really cared for. It was where was it?
That slow song.
The bleeding. The slow singy song.
The bleeding and the blur.
Bleeding the blur.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else is like, oh, this is too much for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, I do like heavy stuff. Like I think the heaviest I go is like Unearth and Darkest Hour, but. Yeah. They're more kind of like metal. These guys are really like hardcore shit. I was like, ugh.
Those bands are definitely more melodic too, like in their guitar lines.
Yeah. Easier to go along
These
with.
Dudes are just dark and grim as fuck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's really like, yeah. It's they're compared to their first album, it's more like listenable
yes.
parts, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I agree.
Like I went back and listened to the first one because I never really got into it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And essentially, it's kind of a repeat in my eyes, but it's a little better. That's for sure.
Which album are you talking about?
The new one.
No, which one are you talking about going back to?
Yeah, the old
Code Orange kids?
Yeah, the first Code Orange, yeah. Well, like the one that was like, it's called like I Am King. It's like,
oh, that was just her, that was their last album then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because before that, they were Code Orange kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I never got into that shit.
Okay, and they were, it was a little bit more like straight up hardcore.
Yeah. That's what I always thought too. And then I was like, I listened to this, I was like, is this the same fucking band? I know it's the same band, but it's fucking weird.
I Am King is basically like, it's very similar to this album.
Yeah, but, exactly. It has like the same like slow song in the middle of the album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of the same like, kind of like ingredients or whatever, the recipe or whatever the fuck you want to call it of the album.
Yeah. But
it's a little more listenable, because like the other album is just like weird noises and then there's like super chuggy part and then that's pretty much it. But the new album kind of has some like more jamming parts a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually like structured.
It's still like, there's still songs on here. It's just like beat down after beat down after beat down.
Yeah,
it's just
oh, totally. Yeah.
How can you do that for fucking 45 minutes? It's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like I was never a huge fan of this band. I don't know if respected is the right word, but I've always like, I was like, all right, I get what they're doing. It's just not for me. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just not my thing, but,
totally.
But this album is definitely more interesting to me than all their previous shit. The other stuff seemed like run of the mill shit. Like there's other bands doing that.
Yeah.
This one had some stuff on it that felt like they were carving their niche. You know what I mean? Like the
whole,
they
finally found like, okay, we can do this now. This is our thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's more industrial sounding. It's more like,
yeah, it's super fucking like weird sound effects and like,
yeah.
The only thing I don't like about that aspect is like, they did it on the last Code Orange album when it's just like, it just fucking stops. Like it skips.
Yes.
It sounds like they like took a chunk of like 3 seconds out
And
just replaced it with silence and then put it together again.
Yes, I agree. I
fucking hate that.
Me too. There's like no resonance.
It was
kind of
throwing me off like a couple times. I was like, oh, that's cool. It's like during like the weird and sounds like, okay, I get it. But then it's like, it does it in the middle of like the song. Like what the fuck? And then I listened to like the first album again. I was like, oh, it just does the same thing. Cool.
Yeah. 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 It's weird, but I like that there's more variation. There's a lot. There's not a whole lot of dynamics in the whole album, which is something that I feel like albums need. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, if it was a little more like riffy, parts,
yeah, like
it would make them a
like
lot better.
The song that Matt mentioned, what was it? The Blurred or whatever,
Bleeding in the Blur.
The Chick Sings,
The Chick Sings, and
Chick's Dick.
I found that song super interesting. I don't know if the band's going to move in that direction, but I kind of hope they do. Like,
yeah.
If they did, I'd totally listen to them.
Yeah, because even if it was like a mix of that with
that,
like
the heavy
stuff. Because it's weird that it's just like one song that's like that. Whereas like
on each album.
If they took like maybe like, you know, the verse and the chorus are like that, but then they have the breakdown and then they
evolve
go
it into
something,
like sludgy stuff or something at least.
Yeah, or if like the sing-alongy riffy part was like the breakdown, and you know what I mean? Like if they interweaved some of those sounds together, I think it would work a little better.
Yeah,
just because
it would be way bigger.
Yeah, it provides like a nice break from just like the brutality of everything else.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Because otherwise, it's just like, ugh. It's just like, it puts you in a weird mood. It's just like, ugh.
That's how I kind of felt when I was listening to it.
Yeah, you just feel like, like not dirty, but you just feel like kind of dirty. You're just like, ugh, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. I think that's also like their fucking point. Like, that's,
no,
that's
it definitely
like what
is.
They want. Yeah.
They're definitely pushing boundaries and they're definitely trying to make people feel kind of uneasy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and at that they're succeeding, but it doesn't make for an enjoyable listen.
Yeah, I was just thinking like how would a live show would be.
Yeah,
I've seen their live set. It's I mean it's fucking intense because like they remind me of like a grindcore band called Ed Gein.
Yeah,
they're older shit. It's three dudes. The drummer primarily does the screaming, and there's one guitarist who does vocals too, and they kind of split. And it's fucking crazy chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like blast beats and off timing shit the entire time. At least they're older stuff, and their set reminded me of that. Because it's like awkward because like no one's singing in front.
Yeah.
They're like the drummer mainly does the singing. Sometimes like the guitarist and like the chick will sing. They'll do like screams and stuff, but that's about it. And then like the bassist is like the fucking center of attention, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, that dude's just,
like,
weird.
It's like Sting.
Goes all over the stage and just does like weird spin kicks the entire time. It's hilarious.
Yeah, he's like a skinhead. Like
he looks like the fucking Matt. Remember the bassist from Andrew WK?
Yeah.
Like he looks like that dude, like but like his dude.
Like a younger, yeah, like a younger version of him.
Okay, yeah, I saw a couple like, videos.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's funny.
Reminds me of that dude, but that's how their life set is. Like that's how it reminded me of. Like it's just like weird, chaotic shit, but it's like you don't know where to look. But it's like at the same time, it's like awkward. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I was. I was watching a YouTube video of one of their songs, and the song started out with the drummer singing. I was like, oh, the drummer's singing, that's cool. But then it switched to the bassist singing, and then the other person was like, oh, who's the fucking lead singer in this group?
Yeah, there really isn't.
That's how that Ed Gein band is. It's pretty weird.
It's cool. Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It's weird, and this is it's a band that I don't really like, but I continue to follow them throughout their like climb.
Just to see what they do.
yeah, to see how they progress.
They're just a very interesting band.
And, I have a lot of bands like that.
When they got signed, they were like 18 years old, like when their first album came out. Like they're only
pretty
like,
young.
22, 23. Like,
I think that's why I think that's why they got a lot of attention.
Yeah, so like when you think about it like that, you're just like, what's their next album? What are they going to do when they're 25? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, that's what's interesting to me by like following them. Cause I remember hearing like, oh, they're 18. I was like, oh, well, this is probably going to be shit. And I was like, it's not my cup of tea, but it's fucking good for what it is. You know what I mean?
For what they do.
It's pretty cool they're doing just, that at that young of age.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what's, to me, that's the most interesting part about that band. It's just like that they're young enough to keep pushing and not really care about what the fuck else is going on. Uh-huh. Like they still have that like youthful, like fucking don't give a fuck attitude. You know what I mean? Which is cool.
I give them props for that.
Yeah. They got signed originally, I think, to Death Wish, but they're
Roadrunner now.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some article the other day that Lamgo posted, like their numbers for the new album are like not nearly as good as their latest.
Oh really?
Last albums, which was weird. Cause like, I think it sold, I think like, almost the same amount of copies, but it didn't really like get on any charts. Like it didn't even push like the 200 chart or whatever. But the last album like sold the same amount, but it hit like number 60 and like high numbers on some other charts. It's kind of weird, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how Roadrunner feels about it, which is weird.
Yeah, we'll see. It's such as just a weird band. Like it's just a niche band. Like I don't ever really see like. I remember like leading up to this album, people were like, oh, they're going to break huge. They're going to be like, and I was like, dude, they're a fucking heavy ass band. Like there's a limit to how far you can take shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess they're going on tour with the fucking Deftones. So well, who knows what's going to happen?
Hmm. Yeah.
That'd be an interesting crowd.
Yeah. We'll see. I feel like it's a very young, like the younger kids in like the hardcore scene or metal scene now, like that are like, less than like 21 years old or so, we're probably all about it.
Yeah, for sure.
I would assume, but that's how I kind of feel about it.
Yeah, but
yeah. Overall, I liked it. I listened to it like quite a few times. I dig it. Like I put it on like my shuffle for like when I'm in the basement, like working or whatever the fuck I'm doing. So it's cool.
Yeah,
I dig it.
I think if you're into heavy music, it's worth listening to. If you don't if you don't like yelling, like really deep growly yelling and heavy, and heavy fucking beatdowns, don't fucking bother with this shit.
Yeah.
But if you're interested and you like to kind of push like heavy music and it's definitely worth giving a try.
Especially if you've never heard like the old Code Orange Kid shit or the old Code Orange stuff. Because I never really listened to it. Like I've heard it, but I never like listened to it until this album. This is probably the first album I actually like. Listen to more than once.
Yeah,
just
for sure.
In full in general. So
yeah. I wouldn't start off with this album. I would kind of start with like Darkest Hour, something a little lighter, quote unquote, to kind of set yourself up for it. Kind of work your way up that metal ladder.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot to take in, like right off the bat. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's funny because that's kind of the reason why I wanted to listen to this for this podcast. Yeah. Was just like,
that's good.
I want to see what Matt's reaction is going to be to this.
I knew he was gonna fucking hate it or say something about it.
Shit. But good. All right. I think that's our show for the week.
It's a good show, guys.
Good show, guys. Hey, good job, guys.
Yeah.
Great show.
All right, straight face. Hello and welcome to Thanks. Ah, see, I already did. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks. All right, here we go again.